following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Hey, where y'all at?
It is a thrill. I love this show.
You're telling me a big fat lie.
I was hoping for funny, crazy.
I will get on stage on Broadway and I will reenact the rantings of Charlie Sheen one day.
Think you can replace me with some other guy? Go ahead. It won't be the same.
'Tis mightiest in the mightiest.
Do not bring Shakespeare into this.
You're so smart.
Oh, really? Well, so are you.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room.
I know exactly who that is. That's the mother that loses every game. That's Kirk Cousins. Get rid of him.
Wow.
Bros, come on. I love you, bros.
Does everybody have to be crazy today?
Now get me, Sabian!
Caps have a 2-on-1 developing. It's Malenstein and Wilson. Malenstein for Wilson. Fires! He hit the post! Rebound! Score! Tom Wilson, a shorthanded marker. Deflection try. Jari the save. Rebound. Score! Alex Ovechkin. Milano working the cycle game. Dylan Strome angles this one to the front. Score! Miroshnichenko has his first in the NHL.
Good night for Ivan Miroshnichenko last night. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Bob Matthews. We are delighted to have you with us. Second segment today, we're going to be talking with Thunder Dan Holme from the Locked On Capitals podcast because there is a lot to talk about. The trade deadline, as we record this, has just ended. The headline that I can tell you is that as far as the guy staying, Nick Dowd did not get moved, and neither did goaltender Charlie Lindgren. So both of those guys are back for the stretch run. The three guys, of course, that did get traded, you have probably heard about. If you haven't, as you are coming online here, the latest was on early Friday morning, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, who actually was with the Hershey Bears at the time officially, was traded to the Carolina Hurricanes for a third-round pick in next year's draft. So you add that pick to the two that they got for Joel Edmondson, who went to the Maple Leafs earlier this week, a 2024 third-round pick this year, and Anthony Mantha to Vegas for a 2024 second-round pick and a fourth-round pick in 26. I failed to mention Edmondson also netted a fifth-round pick in next year's draft. All of this stuff important because especially the Mantha trade, the fact that they got their second-round pick back that I believe, if I am correct, they dealt to, I think it was Arizona officially, for Connor Brown a couple of years ago. So they get that one back. You can see what's happening here. It started last year, and it's continuing this year. The current window, in case you haven't noticed or we're holding out hope, is closed. This team is officially in transition now. That's not to say that it can't be a quick transition, but what you are going to see now is a lot of young guys getting on the ice, which we're going to get to in a second. The trade of Kuznetsov now means that there are just five guys left from the Stanley Cup team, and only four of them, of course, on the active roster. With Nicholas Backstrom on long-term IR, TJ Oshie on the injured list right now. So on any given night, Caps really can only suit up three of those five right now. And we'll talk to Dan about that and other things as well in a couple of minutes. Again, what this means is that a lot of the young kids are going to be getting a lot more ice time. And again, in the short term, they saw it at least, and there's going to be ups and downs, but they saw it pay off a little bit Thursday night in that 6-0 win against the Penguins. You heard Ivan Miroshnichenko got his first NHL goal. Hendrix LaPierre also got a goal, and he has been actually playing really, really well. LaPierre, I'm going to call up his stats here in a second. Hendrix LaPierre has 6 points in his last five games, including four goals. So as much as, you know, you kind of, you obviously, despite Kuznetsov's up and down enigmatic career. You hate to see him go because he was the guy that scored maybe the most famous goal in Capitals history against the Penguins in the playoffs back in 2018. It's time, and it's probably been time for the last year and a half for Brian McClellan to start to do this. I think what he did was he gave the core a chance to get back and make another deep run in the playoffs, and that just never happened with, you know, the four straight first round losses. And now he's got to turn the page, but I think he's doing it, you know, fairly well. I like the strategy that he's pursuing here. He's taking some guys that have some value out there. He's getting picks from them for them. Again, I think it's five picks now that the Caps have in the first three rounds. That's good. And more importantly, not only is he getting those draft picks so he can continue to stock the farm system, but when you look at what's going on the ice, you're now able to take a lot of these young kids who have been lighting it up in Hershey, and not only can you have them stay up here with the big club now that they're ready, and not only can they get significant ice time, but now you can have them play their natural positions. Again, what's Hendrix Lapierre been doing all year? Bouncing up and down, right? It looks like he'll be staying now. Oh, by the way, before I get to that, officially, it was a paperwork move on Friday. The Caps sent Lapierre down to Hershey, as well as Marushnichenko, and who was the third one? Hunter Shepard, sorry. If you saw that on Twitter, purely it's just one of those paperwork moves so that you could, if they need him or if they want to send any of them to Hershey for the playoff run, they could do that. But again, now you've got these guys not only getting quality minutes, but they're able to play, again, their natural positions. You know, how many times both last year and this year did we see McMichael playing out of position? Did we see Lapierre playing out of position and not getting a huge amount of time at, you know, ice time at the position that they're supposed to be playing? Well, now you're going to have, you know, Lapierre skating and getting big minutes every night. Same with Connor McMichael. I mean, just you take a look at the lines in Pittsburgh the other night, and you can see, you know, Hendrix Lapierre was centering the first line with Alexei Protas and Alex Ovechkin. Connor McMichael was centering the second line with Tom Wilson and Max Pacioretty. You know, and so it's just one of those things. The more guys you can get in there, you know, the sooner you can get the future started, the better it's going to be. And you still got that was one of the biggest hurdles, you know, going into the year was, okay, Connor McMichael looks like he is now after, and I don't like the way that Peter Laviolette used him last year, but Connor McMichael after three quarters of a year or whatever it was with Hershey, you know, he was ready this year. And you knew Hendrix Lapierre was going to be ready soon to get an extended look. But at the beginning of the year, where were you going to play him? You didn't have any place. You know, we started the year with Nicklas Backstrom was your number one center, you know, and we all, you know, despite his declining productivity, Kuznetsov was centering the second line. Dylan Strome, who has been a find and got a contract extension, was centering the third line, and Nick Dowd was centering the fourth line. You didn't have any place for these guys. So there you go. You know, there had to, you know, you had to make room for him, and that has finally happened. As I look at it, though, as I look at the moves and the lines, now that I think about it, it's not going to surprise me if Lapierre does go back to Hershey, maybe for the playoff push, just because the fact that Michael Scarbosa can't. because they didn't. He was out of, you know, he would have had to have cleared waivers to go back there, and the Caps didn't want to take a chance on that. So it will not, again, won't surprise me if they need him, if they need another center down there. Obviously, it'd be LaPierre that would go down. But that is, you know, again, that is well down the road, at least a month or so down the road. All right, as for last night, let's jump into it because, well, the future is probably going to have a lot more losses than it does wins. Hey, at least last night against those Penguins, they were able to get things done. And I know it is not the same these days. Pittsburgh also going through their own rebuild right now. So, yeah, not as much juice last night in the game as a typical Caps-Pens game. But, hey, a 6-0 shellacking, I'll take it any way you can get it. The big thing last night, again, Ivan Marushnichenko, whose name I am now pronouncing correctly, thank God, getting that first NHL goal. And as we take you into the locker room, your exclusive locker room access, Mitch Carberry talked about that last night. And what a neat moment it was for the big guy.
That was awesome. I don't think he knew what to do. He wanted to go to O, but he wanted to go down the line. And then he came back and he came and sat in the middle of the bench next to O. And you could just see and feel his excitement and that smile. He was just glowing. Really, really happy for him to get his first NHL goal in the setting on the road in Pittsburgh. Big game. We get a shot out. So that was a great moment that I'll never forget, and I know he won't either.
So, yeah, Marushnichenko, he is one of those guys. We don't know what the future holds for him, but he's 20 years old. He's already up with the big club. It's not going to surprise me if he sticks. And, yeah, again, barring an injury and Hershey wants him for the playoff run or something like that. But if he's going to continue to get big minutes, they're going to keep him up here. And, you know, is he one of those guys that's going to be part of the core that's going to take this, that's going to take the baton from Ovi here in a couple of years? You know, that's what we're going to find out. Now, when you look at last night's game from a big picture standpoint, and again, it's hard to, in an 82-game season, look at one game and extrapolate anything out of it. But you do have to like the way that they bounced back, because the Arizona game last Sunday was the one where everybody was, or 2 days ago, was like, okay, you know, that's it. Turn out the lights. The party's over. But, and with everything that was going on, you know, pregame and Thursday morning before the game, you know, Joel Edmondson cleaning out his locker. That's always a weird thing for the club when that happens, especially on, you know, right before a pregame skate. You could have, you know, excused them from coming out and being flat, but Pittsburgh was going through their own thing. Yeah, they come out, they get a penalty literally right off the faceoff. And then what happens? You know, they completely flip the script. Tom Wilson gets that shorthanded goal, and all of a sudden they're off to the races. And Carberry talked about that, saying he was really pleased with the way that the club bounced back.
Just, I thought right from the start, we take that penalty, whatever it was, 10 seconds into the game, and you go, oh, geez, we're going to have to kill one off. But that didn't deter us for a second. And overall, just a huge response from last Sunday's game or the Arizona game, and being able to come in here on the road, and we lost some players this week, some guys that we consider part of the family, and even today with Kemps being sick, Chucky gets called into action. Just another example of these guys pulling together in a difficult situation, losing some players. Goaltender steps up, and incredible performance tonight from our entire group.
He was giving them their props, and they earned it last night. Carberry said that you could see it either pregame or during the game here at times in the last couple of weeks, but that last night, he said the Capitals did not lack any intensity out there.
Yeah, I thought I didn't notice it a bit tonight in the game, where I've noticed it a couple of the days, practices a little bit, just being around. You can feel it a little bit in the locker room, but tonight – didn't notice it for a second, and I thought guys were real focused, thought we had great energy. It's as good as our puck play from an execution standpoint has been probably all year. The plays that we were able to make off entry, two-on-one, guys finding guys backdoor, slot line plays, that was impressive to watch. Stromer had four, I think, in one ozone sequence we end up scoring on, and we could have scored three before that because of plays that he made. So our puck play and execution with it was as good as it's been all year. So that can tell we were really, really sharp.
They do seem like they're really taking to Carberry's style, you know, crashing the net and going in there and you know, scoring is up here since they made that tweak to the offense. He also had a lot of good things to say, again, about the young kids, and how could you not, as we said, a goal for Marushnichenko. A goal for Hendrix LaPierre. He said last night was a good one for the youngins.
And what I will say to that too, with the young guys, is it to me, they're walking the line, or felt tonight, of being confident and want to make plays. We'll hold on to the puck, make that extra pass, and also being smart. And they're walking that line where they're not nervous or panicking, and that's where we want them. We want them to be confident. We want Lappy to make plays. And then when he makes a mistake, which he's inevitably going to, he makes the one where, you know, you could argue it's a trip on Joseph. He turns it over, and now it's a transition chance. He knows right away, and he corrects himself, and he learns from it. Those are going to happen. So they're right on that line. I thought Miro had a couple of those instances as well. Is they're going to make mistakes, but we want them to be confident and make reads and make plays and hold on to the puck and find a better option than just slamming it off the wall.
And you know, that's not going to happen every night, but at least it happened Thursday against the Pens, and hopefully those young guys will learn those lessons and carry them forward. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Thunder Dan Holme from the Locked On Capitals podcast joins us. We're going to break all this down, chop up the trade deadline, and more as the Bob Matthews podcast continues right here on the Hockey Podcast Network. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on ice. And this week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. It's so easy. I'm going to tell you how to do it in a second. But the thing I love about DraftKings is, I mean, it's like being over there at Rivers in the sportsbook. Everything you want right at your fingertips. For instance, I'm on here now, you know, Blackhawks Capitals tomorrow night at Capital One Arena. Anything you want. The over-under is 6. Washington is -225 right now. Hey, you want to bet on that? You want to bet on the money line? Whatever you want. You want to take the Blackhawks? You think they're going to win? You can get action on them as well. It is so easy. All you got to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the promo code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL. You get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back. Let's bring it on in. Thunder Dan Holme of the Locked On Capitals podcast joining us now. Been a little bit of a busy day here, Dan. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It was a long day. I was hoping for more movement from the Capitals, but the only big movement for the day was Kuzi out to Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. I think we all anticipated it happening. Still kind of in, you know, a state of, I don't know if shock is the right word, because again, we were expecting it, but dang, I mean, you know, you talk about an iconic yet enigmatic figure with this team, and that's Cousy. I mean, this is the guy that scored the arguably the greatest goal in club history, and, you know, now he's off to Carolina. Did you like that trade? You think they got enough for him?
I think that they made the most of an opportunity that was kind of a bad opportunity for the Capitals. I think that they were just happy to have him in the rearview mirror. I know that there was a salary retained and all that kind of thing, but taking a look at it, a 2025 third-round pick, Washington is retaining 50% on Kuznetsov, plus there's one more year next season as well at 7.8 mil.
Yeah. You know, the thing that when I look at, I was writing everything down earlier today, getting ready. You look at all three of the trades that they made, Mantha, Edmondson, Kuznetsov, and all of them, you know, the common theme there is that Brian McClellan is getting picks. He wants draft capital. We saw so many years of the Caps trading away draft capital for obvious reasons when they were making a run at the Cup, but I don't know. To my somewhat untrained eye, I kind of like it. You know, getting a second rounder for Mantha that you didn't have this year, I think was good. You know, a third rounder this year and a fifth rounder next year for Edmondson, a veteran defenseman. I mean, I look at it and say, why trade for talent when you're trying to stock the farm system? You got to see what some of these guys you've put some time in on are worth and are going to do the job for you.
Yeah, and that's the hope, I think, is that this is a team in transition. This is a team that's getting younger, primarily just based on necessity due to injury. But if you can kind of use last season as a blueprint, you saw the Capitals get Rasmus Sandin by sending some draft picks up to Toronto, and they have a premier blue liner for years to come. And you take a look at this year's trade deadline in general, there weren't a lot of first-round picks got in return. You saw Gensel get moved today. You saw some other players get moved. And ultimately, I think that Brian McClellan was looking for like a first-round pick or something better. And he said at the last press conference when they were talking about Kuznetsov getting waived that he's not going to just dump players to dump them. That, you know, and some people are saying that he still has the feeling that this team isn't necessarily out of it. And they're not out of it. It's a long shot, make no mistake about it. But I think that he wasn't just going to give up Nick Dowd because Frank Saravalli or Elliot Freeman said that he should. If he's not going to get the return, he knows what he has. It's like a guy that's selling a car and someone always tries to undercut you. And the guy's like, I know what I have and I'm not doing it. Brian McClellan knows what he has and Chucky Sideburns. He knows what he has and Nick Dowd and Max Pacioretty. He was another player that was supposed to be on the move today. And I think he's just going to hold on to them because he did not get the return that he was looking for.
Yeah, and you know, it's hockey is, you know, it's different than baseball and basketball and football in the sense that, you know, if you get a goalie that goes on an incredible heater late in the season, you know, all you have to do is sneak in there. And 8 seed in the Stanley Cup playoffs is not like a 7 seed in the NFL playoffs. You know, there is and we have seen it before, there is always a legitimate chance to go deep in the playoffs. So I agree with you. The fact that, you know, he didn't just dump him, you know, he had a price. He apparently stuck to that price. And, you know, they're gonna keep on doing what they're doing. I kind of like it. When we take a look though at the overall talent now that this club has, I mean, obviously the record is what the record is, but with now, you know, Connor McMichael's gonna get to center a line every single solitary night. It looks like Hendrix LaPierre is gonna get to center a line a lot. Ivan Miroshchenko is gonna get a lot of ice time. Where do you think the talent level is in this club, you know, right now?
Well, listen, I just recorded my own podcast and I was talking about it, that this team, this Capitals team, went all in on this Rock the Red era for too long. They held on to a lot of players for too long. You could also put the Pittsburgh Penguins in that category as well, as you saw, you know, how they played last night. Good for the Capitals, horrible for the Pens. And a PPG Arena that was near empty, or there was a lot of open holes, shall we say. So taking a look at the Capitals' talent, I think that they're, you know, put in a position now that they have to get younger based on necessity. Connor McMichael is a premier center. Is he Nick Backstrom in his heyday? I'm not going to say that, but I think he has a good upside. And you've also seen Henrik Slop here jump off the page. He made a case for himself saying that I don't want to be sent back down to Hershey this time. My game is so good that I don't need to. And a lot of those players that made it to the Calder Cup last year, they went into the Calder Cup as boys and left as men and are changed. You saw a big uptick in Malenstein. You've seen Connor McMichael, Henrik Slop here. You've seen Hunter Shepherd walking around with a whole lot more swagger. So I think that, you know, last season's Calder Cup push and subsequent win just matured them far beyond their years, and I think fast-tracked their development. And I think that, you know, to a certain extent, what has held back Connor McMichael for years is former head coaches not wanting to take a gamble on them, most notably Peter Laviolette, who likes to go with a lot of proven players, because I think that the mandate this year was changed. That, you know, you take a look in previous years, it was cup, 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 we want to win a cup. I think the mandate was changed this year with Spencer Carberry and this team that, yes, we want to win a cup, of course, but we want to finally bring along some of this young talent. And you've seen that, and a good job. I mean, there's been so many players from Hershey that have popped. You take a look at Scarbosa, a guy that's toiled down in the AHL and the NHL, and, you know, just all the other players that have had their call-ups. By and large, they kill it. I think the Capitals have a lot of great young talent, of course. I mean, take a look at the Hershey Bears. They just need to utilize it. And I think for the first time, they're like, hey, we better make good on some of this young talent. Otherwise, what are we doing here? As you see the likes of Kuznetsov and Backstrom and Oshie, to a certain extent, slowly peeling away.
Do you think that last year's Calder Cup season for the Bears kind of changed people's perception of the Capitals farm system? Because, I mean, I remember, you know, going into the beginning of last season, everybody was saying this is a group, this is a team with an aging core, and there's not much in the pipeline. And it seems like that's kind of changed overnight.
It has. And, you know, it's funny how winning will change perceptions. You know, you'll see this in a football game. There's two commentators and they're talking about a team that they have no allegiance to, and they'll talk disparagingly about the other team until they start playing better. Then they're like, well, I kind of knew this team had it. So people will flip, and people love a winner. So the Capitals, the Hershey Bears winning the Calder Cup, that definitely did change perceptions, as they were the underdog, I'm going to go ahead and say, when they were playing in the final round there. And they found a way to rise above. And I think that you saw a lot of that young talent rise above, and you saw them overcome and just mature. That's the biggest thing. Is I think we're seeing a maturation of these players that have had cups of coffee with the Capitals before on the big team. And then, you know, they were just given such a limited short leash that if they didn't totally kill it in their first opportunity, they were shuttled back to Hershey. I'm going to go ahead and put like Joe Snively in that mix as well. That I think that for the first time in a long time, we're giving these guys a nice long look. For a couple reasons. Well, Spencer Carberry has a history with him, as he was a head coach of the Hershey Bears at one point. And also, he's a younger coach. So I think he, you know, is more affable and knows how to talk to these younger players. And it's paying off in spades for the Capitals, as I've loved Connor McMichael this year. Recently here, I've loved Henrik Slop here. And also Malenstein is a Swiss Army knife for the Capitals on the fourth line that I'm actually pretty excited about a lot of the young talent on the Capitals.
And then when you look down in Hershey, you know, still, you know, when does Ethan Frank come up, and where do you put him? Dubé was up a couple of weeks ago and it looked really good. You know, Vincent Ioria was up. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And that doesn't even, yeah, that doesn't even get into, you know, Ryan Leonard, who was their number one pick last year, Cristobal, and everybody else. It's just, it's amazing how it kind of flipped overnight into where there's, you know, everybody's perception was there's no talent in the system, and now it seems like it's brimming with talent.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Leonard. I mean, he is absolutely killing it at Boston College, not to mention what he did in the junior championships there. That if he's willing to go pro next year, Brian McClellan said, that's fine. That's just up to him. They're not going to pressure him to go pro, but he even said that what he saw from him in camp, he thought he was ready to go pro. So it's up to Leonard if he's, you know, willing to take that next step. And, you know, he's a young man. I don't think we should rush him. If he wants to, you know, play his time through college, that's his prerogative, because there's always life after hockey. But I think that he has a lot of raw talent. Of course, a lot of his characteristics remind me of Tom Wilson. But I think that, you know, if you take a look at Leonard, once he gets really going, I think he'll actually be a better player than Wilson. But you talk about Crystal playing as well, that there is a lot of young talent. And I think, you know, if we can kind of set our eyes above this season, kind of set our eyes up to the horizon, that this team will be good in years to come. It's just if the Capitals fan base has the patience, because we're already going through another rebuild on another professional sports team called the Nationals. Uh-huh. And can the Capitals stomach or the Washington DC area, can they stomach another rebuild?
Well, and you know, it's funny you mention that. And of course the Commanders always in a perpetual rebuild, it seems like. But the one thing that I always harp upon, and that this is the one organization here in the DMV you can give the benefit of the doubt to when you look back at history. I mean, this is a franchise that since 1982 has been in the playoffs literally 75% of the time. So, I mean, if there's a club that's set up to get it right, it's got to be this one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. They have the pedigree. They have the history. They still have Alex Ovechkin, you know, taking the bull by the horns and leading this team. And, you know, if you want to draw lines to the success on the latter part of the season here, it's Alex Ovechkin coming on strong after the All-Star break. You take a look, he had an abysmal start to the season. Some people were saying he's washed, that his best days are in the rear view. I've even kind of alluded it to it. You know, it's just, there was nothing in his game that made me think that he was going to turn it around. And then the All-Star break happened. He didn't play in the All-Star game this year by request. He went to Dubai with his family and just reinvigorated, took his mind off hockey, came back a changed man. And, you know, as Alex Ovechkin goes, so goes the Capitals. And some people will say that hasn't been true for years, but the proof's in the pudding. If you want to see that what's going on out on the ice, oftentimes when the Capitals play some of their best hockey, it's when their captain, Alex Ovechkin, is leading the charge.
Yeah. What do you think of the tweak that Carberry made to the offense here a few weeks ago? It seems like having guys going to the crash into the net more often has paid some dividends here. You think this is something that's sustainable for them?
Absolutely. And it's a change that I don't know why it didn't happen earlier in the season, but crashing the net, waiting for juicy rebounds, trying to get those second and third opportunities. You saw that last night, even against the Pens. You saw that in the Wilson goal where he kind of took that odd angle, but he was just driving the net. You saw Jensen out there as well, getting his first goal of the season. That, you know, crashing the net, you know, setting up in front of the net, good things will happen. And it has helped the Capitals out immensely here as of late.
It's amazing how that happens when you draw it up like that. All right, Dan, I don't want to keep you. I know you got your own thing going on there. Most everybody knows it, but if they want to catch the Locked On Capitals podcast, how do they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter. It's at Locked On Caps. You can find my personal Twitter at DanCaps218. Otherwise, the show is available on YouTube and wherever else you find your podcasts, including the SiriusXM app.
He's the best in the business, boys and girls. Dan Holming, thank you so much, Dan. We will talk to you soon.
All right, thank you very much.
That's going to do it for us. Nick and the clock say we got to get up on out of here. Be an interesting stretch run. Remember, it really hits the fan for the Caps now. 21 games, I think, in 44 days. It's basically going to be every other day from now until the end of the season, so there is going to be plenty to talk about. It's the youngins' team now. Let's see how they respond. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week. Remember, like the wise man once said, if you're on your bike tonight, as always, you wear white.